How can we bridge the generation gap in our families after being children of divorce? That's what I want to talk about with you today on Heart in a Drawer, the podcast for adult children of divorce. I'm so glad that you're with me today. I'm Sarah Gehringer, I'm your host, and we have an episode today about handling your relationship with your parents and even mentoring other people around you. It's kind of a subject I haven't really covered before, and I'm excited to dig into that with you today. So before we get started, let me just tell you about a couple opportunities for you. First of all, if you go into the show notes, you're always going to find a free printable related to this episode. You're also going to find a contact page if you want me to pray for you, and I would be honored to do that. And everyone who gives a donation of any amount during a month gets an exclusive video and printable from me. So please prayerfully consider donating to offset about $200 a month I spend on all of my platform development, including this podcast. And I really appreciate your generosity. So today's episode is actually inspired by the most recent issue of the Focus on the Family magazine, just showing you all who's watching it on YouTube now. And there's an article in here that says, which generation has the best marriages? So I'm going to read you some portions of this just through the lens of being an adult child of divorce. And also, I just want to give a shout out to the many of you who are listening who are parents of children of divorce. And I just pray blessings on you for coming to this podcast to learn more about how your children are suffering and how to minister to them. If more parents did this, we would have far, far fewer results from trauma in our culture today. So God's blessings on you. I'm so excited that you're listening. So the author of this article is Hayden Shaw, and he's written a book called Generational IQ. So I'm just going to pull some quotes out of this article. So first he talks about the traditionalists who were born before 1946. So for me, that's my grandparents. It says traditionalists wanted to find a good match and have a strong family. Just an example of contrast, by 1960, 65% of traditionalists ages 18 to 32 were married, compared to 26% millennials in 2013 who were married by those same ages. So much higher marriage rate. It also says that for traditionalists, divorce was not socially acceptable. So, also it says that traditional marriages teach other generations that am I happy is not the main point of marriage, but fidelity is. So they were highly committed to one another. And that would be the norm of that generation. So moving to the next generation of baby boomers. So for me, this is my parents, born between 1946 and 1964. It says, baby boomers shifted their expectations of marriage. They looked for a soulmate who would provide satisfying sex and accept them for who they were. Now, the 1970s were an era of pursuing self-fulfillment. So this is just part of the generation that they grew up in. It says, baby boomers talked openly about what traditionalists kept private. And it also says one byproduct of their focus on self-fulfillment is that baby boomers were 9 times more likely than traditionalists to seek counseling. So that was actually a good move forward. But here's the flip side of that. The expectations of baby boomers led to a jump in divorces. During the 70s, the divorce rate doubled and then began to decline in 1980. And remember, the no-fault divorce laws went into effect in the 1970s in America. That actually made divorce even easier to attain than it had been before. I'm going to return to this little part about the baby boomers, what they can learn and teach, because I think it's kind of the heart of this entire discussion. So I'll bounce back to that in a minute. So then he starts talking about Generation X, which is the generation that I'm part of, born between 1965 and 1980. He says, when Gen Xers saw the divorce rate double with their parents, it made them more skeptical about marriage, but also motivated them not to put their children through divorce. Their desire to avoid a breakup, as well as whether the economic ups and downs caused them to marry and have children later, often cohabitating first. It also says Gen Xers brought realism back to the marriage vows. While the baby boomers wanted it all, Gen Xers demonstrated that protecting their marriage required trade-offs. They saw firsthand that the second marriage was not the magical answer when they were disappointed with the first one. I say amen to all of this right now. That's my experience. You've probably heard a lot about that in the past 30-ish episodes or so. And I can affirm that as a Gen Xer myself. Then it also says, because Gen Xers expect marriage to have hard spots, they have made it easier for all generations to ask for help. And it says they tend to be independent and can learn from other generations to find community, to seek a wider circle of support than their immediate family and friends. So finally, the last generation he talks about is millennials, born between 1981 and 1998. It says, millennials have a lower divorce rate than baby boomers or Gen Xers. They are romantics. They believe in love and marriage in that order. They marry later, which is one of the reasons millennials have the lowest divorce rate. It says, though they postpone marriage, they do not postpone sex. Today, this is important. This is a statement about our culture as a whole. The majority in the United States believe marriage is important, but not essential for a happy life and for well-balanced children. So one of the reasons that I am doing this podcast is to affirm the holy and sacred value that marriage has and to show that it's worth protecting, it's worth fighting for. And I want everyone who's in the millennial generation or younger who's listening to this podcast to know that God's design for marriage is best. That's why divorce is so heartbreaking. And we need to pursue God's role for marriage rather than our own and look at what He says is right rather than thinking what we want it to be. We have to put it up against God's holy example. You can go back to some of my podcasts on marriage and listen to those too. It says, and this is a really hopeful, wonderful quote from this article. It says, millennials will welcome encouragement and advice if older couples will help them figure out the challenges of marriage for a millennials generation instead of their own. So we Gen Xers, baby boomers, traditionalists, we need to be able to listen to what the millennials need and meet them in their needs, not necessarily put our framework on them. And I've actually written a blog post about how to minister to the next generation. I'm going to link that in the show notes. It has some really, really practical advice for churches and ministries to reach millennials and even Gen Z, which I'll talk about in a second, in a very practical way to make the gospel warm and inviting to them. So just one more comment, and then we'll go back to what the article said about baby boomers. Gen Z is therefore anyone who's born 1999 or after. So most of those people are too young really to marry, or the very oldest ones are just in their early 20s, and that's why there's no data for them in this article. But everything that we can learn, all the applications we can take from this, we can start talking about with Gen Z, that's my children, talking about what marriage should look like, the pitfalls of divorce, the what I call the nuclear fallout for children for years and decades afterward, and just talk about them very honestly and openly because they want authenticity. And that's what I'm going to get to right here. So going back to baby boomers. Baby boomers show the other generations that high expectations can motivate us to seek help, but they can also be a burden. Boomers divorce more and have been less happy than other generations because divorce really marked them. While younger couples seek older couples to guide them, high expectations make baby boomers who have struggled in marriage reluctant to mentor. That's unfortunate because Gen X, millennials, and now Gen Z respond to authenticity, not perfection. Boomers need to tell stories about couples who waited to have sex until marriage and never wavered in their commitment so millennials can see it's possible. And divorced people can lay out the pitfalls with authenticity, such as saying, "If I could do it all over again." This can be very powerful as well. So, depending on what generation you're in as you're listening today, I want you to think about what you can learn from these facts about your generation and how it approaches marriage and how it views divorce even. And what can you take from that? And how can you seek to learn more from a different generation? How can you be open-minded? How about these Gen Xers and millennials? How can we be more compassionate and understanding and patient with the baby boomers and traditionalists who might be reluctant to open up? How can we gently and kindly seek their advice? And boomers, we love you, but we need you to open up to us. Your stories, especially the stories of failure, can actually teach us more than the stories of triumph. So please prayerfully consider sharing some of those darker parts of your story, because it will bless us. It will show us what to avoid. And we are longing for those kinds of stories from you. We welcome those stories and we won't judge you. We will welcome you with open arms. That's what we need to hear from you. So I have a Bible verse, actually two verses that are kind of loaded, but I think they really apply to this discussion, and I'm going to unpack these with you. This is from Exodus 20, verses 5 and 6 in the New Living Translation. And God is talking to Moses. He says, "I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands." Now, before you flinch at this hard-fistedness in this promise of punishment, we have to remember that we worship a holy God who owes us nothing. And it's only because his grace covers us that we have anything good in our lives. So when God says, "I lay the sins of the parents upon their children," it's because he hates sin and he hates the destructive nature of it and the way that one sin has a ripple effect into generation after generation. Is that anywhere clearer than when we're talking about divorce and how it divides families and how it causes heartache that lasts and lasts and lasts? But then this wonderful, wonderful promise. He says, I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. So he doesn't just say, I will show love. He uses superlatives here. He says, I will lavish unfailing love. So he's promising that if we follow him, if we put him first, if we love him and obey what he says about marriage, about families, about the way that we live our Christian lives, then he will bless us and he will heal those wounds that we've experienced and reverse the curses that we received as children of divorce and make all things new. That's his promise to us. And we need to focus on this. We need to focus on the side of God that is just and holy as much as the side of God that is gracious and loving. He's not one or the other. He's both. And aren't we glad that he is? Aren't we glad that he holds people accountable? And aren't we glad that he gives us grace that we don't deserve? So I pray that this will encourage you and provoke a lot of discussion for you, maybe with your parents, maybe with a mentor in church, maybe with other people in a small group. Start talking about this. Use this podcast. Share this with them so it can foster discussion about marriage, about divorce, about the way family life should be, and learn and listen from that discussion. So let me close in prayer today for you. Father God, I just ask you to put your hand of blessing on every single person who's listening today. You know their needs, Lord. You know what they need to hear, but you also know what they have to offer to others that's good. You know their struggles as well as their victories. And I pray that you will move them to share both, to be vulnerable and honest and open so that others might learn from their stories. Others might grow and be blessed by them. Give them courage, Lord. Give them hope. Give them your strength and just bless them for having the courage to share their stories in order to bless other people, especially in other generations. And I pray you will empower them in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me, and I have a special podcast about prayer next time. I hope that you'll be joining me for that. Until next time, praying God's peace and blessings upon you. Bye-bye.